listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist. Hey, how you doing, folks? Got a terrific show for you, as I always do every day. Going to be interviewing author Vicki Stark. Latest book, scary title, Runaway Husbands. And I invite you all to call in if you'd like. We'll be chatting with Vicki in just a little bit about her book and why she wrote it and what's going on. But let me set it up for you like this. Imagine that you're a happily married woman in the midst of a stable and secure long-term relationship. Imagine that. Are you? Have you been? Now imagine that you come home one day and find a scribbled note from your husband in the middle of the kitchen table with two words on it. It's over! Your life skids off course and you find yourself in a bizarre alternative reality. Desperately, you're trying to make sense of how your beloved husband could have morphed overnight into an angry stranger. Welcome to the world of wife abandonment syndrome. Now, I know out there, ladies, you know how positive I am, and gentlemen, I'm the positive life therapist. That's what I'm all about. But sometimes stuff happens. And today we're going to be hearing from the author of Runaway Husbands, The Abandoned Wife's Guide to Recovery and Renewal. So, in fact, it is a positive twist. Vicki Stark is a very qualified family therapist. She's been doing it for about 25 years in clinics. She works with families. She's the co-founder of the Montreal Family Center. It's a private counseling center. And it specializes in resolving problems related to divorce. And of course, she's been a familiar face if you have seen her on Montreal TV. Yeah. She has a show called Stark Realities on the evening news at CBC. On the CBC. Oh, that's the BBC. I forgot. Stark Realities. Of course, her last name is Stark. Anyway, the book she's going to be talking to us about is based on her own experience. We'll ask her a little bit about that, as well as the Sudden Wife Abandonment Project, in which she interviewed over 400 women. Worldwide. Now, that's a lot of folks. That's a study right there. And Vicki has brought people, women and women together through her website, which is, by the way, let me just put this out to you, www.runawayhusbands.com. And it's an active resource center. If you've been abandoned, possibly, by your man, it's kind of a life raft for a lot of women. And some of the feedback that I read from this book is amazing about how it really helped folks out there. And also, if you would like to respond to my interview with Vicki today talking about runaway husbands, or if you would like to share your experience, I'd love to hear from you. If you're listening to the show, you are definitely on my front webpage here on latalkradio.com, the world's most listened to internet talk radio station. But if you would like to respond, you can do so. You see my links down there? Where it says On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, there's a couple of links. If you'd like to write me directly, the show link is drmichelle@aol.com. DocMichelle@aol.com. That's D-O-C Michelle with two L's at AOL.com. And on my website, Dr. Michelle Therapy, drmichelletherapy.com. And if you have any questions or comments about your experiences being left alone by a guy who you've been with a long time. You don't have to be married to him. You can be with him for many, many years, and then all of a sudden, bye-bye. And no sign. I mean, the thing that is fascinating about this book is, you know, we think, whoa, what did I do wrong? What was I thinking? What signs didn't I pick up? Well, there are signs, and there are things that you can learn about this, and we're going to find out more about it. So let's get online here with my special guest. We have Vicki Stark on the line. Hey, Vicki, how are you?
Hello.
Can you hear me, Vicki? I think she's there somewhere. She's calling from Canada, so I think we're having a little, let's try to get this up again. See if we got her there. All right, we're going to try once more. We're going to get her, hopefully she's calling from a landline so we can get it right here live on the air. And by the way, folks, if you want to respond.
Hi, you've reached Vicki Stark.
Oh, yeah, that's the wrong number. So we're going to wait for her to call back again. Yeah, okay, Vicki, we're going to wait for you to call back again. Okay. All righty. Now, if you would like to respond, you can call me, and the number, by the way, here is 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. So, again, if you have any response to this. So let me go on about this while we're waiting for a Vicki to call back. And, you know, let's talk about what happens in America. Why does this happen? You know, what's going on? Why do people, you know, go away? What is their problem? And what are, you know, how come we didn't see some of the signs coming on? Well, a lot of times we don't, especially if, you know, we're in happy marriages or what seem to be happy marriages. You know, we're in a good place. Things are fine. You know, it's like, what's going on? How can we cope with this? So, you know, what's going to happen, hopefully, if Vicki will call us back and we'll get on the line, maybe I can get my producer to call her back. We'll find out maybe some of the signs that you should be looking for. You know, why do husbands turn against their wives? All right, let's see if we can get her back up on the air here on LA Talk Radio. And hello, Vicki, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Great, nice to hear from you.
Yeah, I'm delighted to be here, Michelle.
I've just been kind of leading into our interview today, telling them about your book, Runaway Husbands, The Abandoned Wife's Guide to Recovery and Renewal. So, you know, I'm amazed that this is a research book, right?
That's right. It's actually based on a study that I did of over 400 women worldwide.
Wow.
Who were left from what they believed to be relatively secure and happy marriages.
Isn't that something?
It's quite a large number of people. And the amazing thing is that people responded from all over the world, from Australia, from Britain, from the United States, Canada, India.
Right.
It's just, you know, there was really a lot of feeling attached to the people who got in touch with me.
Interesting. So it's a worldwide phenomenon, just not a what's wrong with those American men phenomenon.
That's right. Unfortunately, I'm afraid so, yeah.
Well, in your new book, it's, again, folks, called Runaway Husbands, talks about something called wife abandonment syndrome. And I like this. I like this. It's a new syndrome, folks, but it's obviously really happening. And Vicki, what exactly does that mean?
Okay, well, wife abandonment syndrome, it refers to a pattern of behavior on the part of a husband who leaves his wife out of the blue. Mm-hmm. From what she believed to be a happy marriage. But the important part of it is, you know, as we know, lots of marriages break down.
Right.
But this is a case in which the husband had really never discussed it with his wife and never really told her she was unhappy. And that subsequently, after leaving, he typically changes the tender, loving feelings that he'd shown his wife when they were together into some kind of angry, aggressive, you know, relationship with her.
Yes.
And seems to really not care about what happens to her, how she fares, how much she's suffering, all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's so interesting. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, Vicki.
Just, you know, a couple of other features of wife abandonment syndrome is that usually there's a girlfriend on site.
Mm-hmm.
That most men leave their wives for a woman, for a girlfriend.
Yeah.
And that the other piece of it is that he then starts to sort of tear down the marriage and all the things that he might have said previously, like, you know, oh, remember that trip we took in Europe? It was such a good time. Mm-hmm. That after he leaves, he says, well, I told you it was a good time, but I was really miserable the whole time.
Oh, my God.
So that the wife is just flabbergasted. Like, she can't understand how he couldn't change from
right.
being a devoted husband,
right.
you know, protector, to being sort of her persecutor.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, that's the shocking part of it.
That is really shocking. You know, it was interesting because when I was reading your book, Vicki, I was noticing, you know, some of the similarities in the situations with, I have three friends,
yes.
just talking girl talk here. I have three friends
yes.
who are professionals. You know, they've been working for a long time and, couple of them are in their 40s, one's in their 50s, and two of them are professional. One's a MFT therapist, the other's a psychologist, and the other's in the entertainment industry, very high-profile woman. And same thing happened to them in that, I mean, everything seemed just wonderful. They earn a lot of money. They do really well. They're lovely women. They take good care of themselves. They're seemingly loving. They've had kids. They've seemed to be happy and went on a lot of vacations with the husband and just had a great life. And then all of a sudden, one friend in particular I can think of, she had to go to London. Her parents are English, to take care of her father who's dying. And her husband, after 11 years, said, I'm going to have to stay home because I do have to work, but I will be calling you daily and I will be taking care. Well, she had to go for 2 weeks. Her father did indeed pass away. She took care of all the matters in London.
Yeah.
She came back home to an empty house with all the furniture gone and a business card of his on the kitchen breakfast bar, which said,
yes.
I'm done. Call my attorney.
Oh, now, my God, that is brutal.
I mean, 2 weeks before, they were making love, and he was, oh, everything's great, and oh, give my love to your mom, and this is sad. And I mean, I had never heard of such passive aggressiveness before. I was floored. But when I read,
it's absolutely brutal.
Oh, my God, Vicki, when I read your book, I went, wow, this happens a lot.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting because it highlights a feature.
Yes.
You know, I don't want to make everyone nervous here, but
right.
it highlights one of the features of wife abandonment syndrome, which is that it very often happens after a separation.
Mm.
You know, even after a weekend away, somebody goes away
right.
on a business trip, whether
right.
it's the wife who leaves or the husband who leaves.
Right.
And that during that time when they're separated and, you know, for legitimate reasons, like with your friend going to take care of an ailing
sure.
relative,
sure.
That's sort of the time during which the husband who may have been thinking of leaving crystallizes his plans.
Uh-huh.
And that's, yeah, and then, you know, the wife comes back to an empty house or he's already left and she, you know, she just can't understand what happened.
Oh, that's amazing. Folks, if you just tuned in, this is Dr. Michelle, and you're on the couch with me and my special guest today, Vicki Stark, the author of Runaway Husbands, The Abandoned Wife's Guide to Recovery and Renewal. And I like this book also, Vicki, because it does specifically talk about this wife abandonment syndrome, but it's also great in terms of helping ladies and, you know, get over these relationships and signs that they can look out for, and we'll be talking about that, you know, coming up in a little bit. And folks, so just keep on listening because you're going to find out how to take care of anything that you might see and notice some signs and sometimes stuff happens. So, you know, it's how to be prepared sometimes. And again,
sure. And that's so important, isn't it?
That's right. And I'm a very positive person, Vicki. So I'm like,
yeah, okay, me too.
But,
that's good.
You know, how common is this phenomenon?
You know what? When I started, this happened to me like 3 years ago.
My goodness.
And I'm also a marriage and family therapist, an MFT, like
yeah.
your friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I specialize in working with families around issues of divorce.
Right.
So you'd think I would be able to see it coming, but believe me, I didn't.
Right.
And when it happened to me, and I was traumatized. I was literally, and clinically traumatized.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you sort of feel like you're the only person in the world that could have, you know, like, how could this happen? Because in my own case, my husband was so attentive and appreciative mm-hmm. and complimentary and loving and affectionate.
Wow.
He was, like, really over the top in terms of all of those things.
Sure, sure.
And when I started, you know, when it happened, me, I started doing reading and talking to people, and it's sort of like, you know, the hidden story
right.
that is really prevalent. And I put up my website, which is runawayhusbands.com, mm-hmm. And I started finding that people were finding their way to my website, and the word epidemic started coming up more
wow.
and more, sort of, you know, like your experience, Michelle,
yes.
where you've known a couple of people to whom this has happened.
Yeah.
Everyone I talk to says, oh, my God, that happened to my aunt, that happened
oh.
to my neighbor, that happened to my dentist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone knows somebody, you know, who's been in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's getting, you know, it's very prevalent. And I think up until now, there hasn't been a vocabulary to describe it. There hasn't been a terminology for it. And I think that the value of the research and hearing from so many women, that we now have some parameters for it. We can now sort of understand what this is about so that,
mm-hmm.
you know, when it happens to people now and they have someplace to go, either to the website or, you know, take a look at the book, you know, that they can understand what's happening to them so they don't feel like, you know, the only person in the world who's been suffering through this.
Oh, my goodness, no. And like you said, what a healthy way to try to recover yourself, to, you know, have a blog or a website, you know, and try to get response. And like I said, in the end of your book here, you've got over 400 women in, you know, who you studied. And
yeah.
this book is based on their experiences, which are so familiar. So we briefly touched on it, but how is the, you know, the wife abandonment syndrome, how is it different from the usual unwanted end of a marriage? I mean, there's usually problems and preparations, and you see things happening, right?
Right. And you know, like people say, you know, why are you so traumatized? You know,
yeah.
what, 39% of the population or 45% of the population gets divorced. What's the big deal?
Mm-hmm.
But it is so fundamentally different when you're in the midst of your life and you're so, you know, so feeling so secure and you're sort of making plans, summer plans or whatever, and thinking about what's coming up next, you know, on your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day your husband looks up at you and says, bye, I'm out of here, and leaves.
Yes.
And, you know, so that there's always that sense of trauma,
mm-hmm.
And that sense, that shock value, you know,
mm-hmm.
so that you have,
yeah.
in a usual divorce, you see it coming. As much as it might make you miserable and you don't yeah. want it to happen, at least you can rehearse it and you can prepare for it.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And I mean, and we don't want to get women out there paranoid. I mean, the idea is not to be paranoid, oh my God, and start suspecting and you know,
sure.
for
yeah.
every little sign, who's he texting, who's he on, you know, that's yeah. really sad in itself to have to be paranoid. But, And I know a lot of listeners are thinking this too. Why do husbands turn against their wife? I mean, you as a therapist, me as a therapist, we have certain diagnoses that fall into the axis 2 cluster B category, such as narcissistic personality. They have now the
yeah.
new one, of course, passive aggressive personality, a little borderline kind of, you know, characteristics as well. Why do husbands do this? Why do they turn against so abruptly without any concern for their welfare? Why do you think this is, Vicki?
Yeah, well, I think very often the kind, you know, women who feel as though they're in happy marriages can just relax and feel as though they're in happy marriages.
Right.
I mean, certainly it's not my intention to say that,
right.
oh, you know, be careful, you can't trust anybody.
Right.
On the contrary, I think it's important if you're in the marriage, you know, to have trust. Otherwise, you've got one foot in and
sure.
one foot out.
Sure, sure.
But I think that, you know, for the kind of man who does leave his wife abruptly like this, and without seeming to be concerned about her, may very well be someone who has an ambivalent relationship with women.
Yes.
Being that he really needs women, he really needs his wife tremendously, and that's why he's such an attentive husband.
Right.
But then when he's distracted by another woman who, you know, often is a whole lot younger and mm-hmm. maybe is laughing at his jokes, the ones the wife has heard 1,000 times.
Right.
And he realizes that he wants to move on and he wants to jump out of that marriage. He doesn't very often have a good reason or a good explanation.
Right,
the wife
right.
has been a good enough wife, attentive, caring, you know, just exactly like you describe your friends, you know, who take me, you know,
right.
maybe not everyone, but who takes care of herself.
Oh, she was amazing.
Something interesting
right.
to say.
Right.
And since he doesn't really have a good excuse, he has to sort of pump up mm-hmm. or ramp up mm-hmm. all of those possible reasons for leaving. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, he sort of looks like a nut. Like, why are you leaving this woman who's so great?
Right.
So he has to say, well, she did this terrible thing and she didn't care about me when I said that. And he has to really, you know, amplify any little thing that the wife did. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and very often, you know, the husbands, they're already engaged and involved in a new relationship mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. they go running from the relationship with the wife because, and they can't really talk with her, help her through this period because they're so afraid of her disapproval. And that's the other side of the ambivalence.
Right.
They don't want her anger. They're conflict avoiders, and they just want to get as far away from an angry woman as it's humanly possible to be.
Oh, yes. Well, that is so fascinating, you know, the way that these things turn out. And, you know, again, not to be paranoid, and, you know, you got to keep your eyes open and look for signs, but just sometimes stuff happens. And the good news about my friend, who came back, and she's very healthy mentally. She is a professional in the entertainment industry and has lots of support systems, lots of good friends. And she was shocked, but she ended up actually eventually selling the house, and she did move back to London where her family is originally, and she has remarried. So she's happily married and doing quite well. So there is a happy ending to many of these situations.
I think that was one of the surprising things from my study and from the women that, you know, I heard from on the website is that a lot of women say that as much as they suffered at the end of that marriage, it gave them an opportunity to start again.
Yeah.
And to rework their lives in a way that maybe is more to their liking at this stage of their lives.
Very interesting.
It's amazing. And that a lot of, you know, went back to school or they started a new career or they opened a business mm-hmm. or they took up, I don't know, you know, Chinese cooking or something, you know, and they started doing things that gave them a profound sense of satisfaction. So it's not like every story ends in this very lonely, sad woman who's miserable.
No.
But because of the level of suffering, mm-hmm. I think that a lot of women really do take the reins in their lives and start to do things the way they want to do them.
Right, exactly. And folks, by the way, if you just tuned in, this is Dr. Michelle, and you're on the couch with me and my special guest today, Vicki Stark. She's the author of the book Runaway Husbands, The Abandoned Wife's Guide to Recovery and Renewal. And yes, there is recovery and renewal, as Vicki was just saying. And in order to prepare women, Vicki, for these kind of renewal stages and kind of finding more about themselves and new things within themselves that they may have never discovered, what are you say that women go through transformational stages after this sudden announcement that their husband is leaving. Can you talk about some of those stages?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's so important to be able to track your progress.
Right.
You know, when you're really screwed up about something, you're really upset about something, and when you're right in the midst of it and you're in those initial stages of, you know, and this is a very long recovery process. It's at least 2 years to recover. So that in the first 6 months of the first year when you're just obsessing and you're just so miserable and suffering so much, mm-hmm. you know, you feel as though it's going to last forever.
Right.
But actually, you know, you might be like the very, very first stage, and I use this sort of meteorological categories. I call the first stage the tsunami, when you sort of feel as though you don't know which end is up. You can't find the ground. You're like totally overwhelmed. And then, you know, that's sort of the most intense initial phase. And then you move into the tornado phase where your thoughts are spinning wildly and you try to come up with some desperate plan to make this not be happening.
Right.
And then, you know, that's another sort of a short-term phase. And then you move into the thunderstorm mm-hmm. phase mm-hmm. where you feel attacked and fearful and you don't know when the next thunderbolt will strike, you know, where, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. where you're so vulnerable. You know, somebody to in the street could say something and just totally, you know, ruin your day.
Right.
And you know, and your emotions are so raw. And then you get into what I call the longest phase, and I call it the ice storm phase.
Right.
Where you're sort of just plodding through life. Life feels hard and cold.
Yeah.
And you know, you feel like there's no future, and time slows way down, and you're sort of frozen.
Right.
And that's that's a long phase. But then things start to lighten up and we move into fog, and then we get the happier stages like the sun shower stage mm-hmm. and the early spring stage until we finally get mm-hmm. to the summer's day.
Mm-hmm.
But you started your life again and you have a new normal and life no longer feels bizarre and unrecognizable.
Right. And you say it,
so that,
you know, yeah, go ahead, Vicki.
Mm-hmm. No, so that, you know, if at any point say, oh, okay, I recognize I'm in the ice storm phase. Mm-hmm. You know, this is mm-hmm. going to last a certain period of time, and then it's going to pass.
Right.
Then you feel less sort of hopeless.
Right, exactly. And as in the classic model, the DABDA, an acronym, you know, as we use for, you know, loss, you know, and we're mourning and we have loss. This is what I find, too, is I think women go back and forth. I mean, they do kind of progress through these natural stages. Because it's kind of the brain's way of coping with it. But I think sometimes they probably do kind of go back into, you know, some of the behavior of the thunderstorm, and they'll go back to the ice storm, and then they'll get into the fog, and then they go back a little bit. So it takes a while to really, you know, get fully into a place to where you can say, I think this is a warm summer day today. I'm going to create, you know, I'm going to create my own life. And you're saying generally that from your studies, this takes, I don't know, like 2 years, maybe about 2 years.
You know, everyone is different, and it sort of depends upon how much support you have, how many friends you have. If you have a job that you're very involved with, that's
right.
important to you, and that can take you out of it. But yeah, it's you know, we're talking typically about long-term marriages, like 10, 15, 20. 25 years. I mean, the longest one in my study was a 45-year marriage.
Wow.
So that, you know, you're not going to recover in 3 months from
no.
that.
No. Exactly.
And you have to redefine your whole future, you know, which you imagined was going to be that retirement phase together with that husband. And
right.
Now
exactly.
you're going to be on your own. So,
yeah,
it's a good long period of time.
Yeah, this is Dr. Michelle here with you on the air on LA Talk Radio, and I'm talking with Vicki Stark, the author of Runaway Husbands, a really good book, fascinating stuff, based on 400 women who she studied and many, many other who responded to her website as well, who've had this issue, as we call it, wife abandonment syndrome. And now, you also talk about the 7 steps for moving forward. So, you know, we've grieved, we've gone through all these stages, and what are some of the 7 steps for moving forward that women can do to get over this stuff?
Right. So again, it sort of parallels the transformational stages.
Right.
That, like in the early days, it's just recognizing step number one, that the chaos won't last forever.
Right.
And right at that moment, you feel as though mm-hmm. you know your stomach will never settle down, and that it will last forever.
Right.
And then another big step, and this is one that, you know, and you were so right, Michelle, when you talk about that cycling back and forth between the different phases, you know, that people come to an understanding, or mm-hmm. they come to a certain stage, and then something happens and they're in a different state of mind and they go back into an earlier phase.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the second step, which is to accept the fact that the marriage is really over, that's
right.
a real big piece of work. You
wow.
know, if you've been in a marriage for 20 years and you have to accept the fact that he's not coming back.
Right.
You know, because
right.
a lot of women hang on to that fantasy that,
oh,
you know, that he'll be back, you know, and people say to her, he'll be back. And
right.
to accept the fact that he's not coming back and the marriage is really over is a huge
yes.
piece of it. And then the third step, which is, you know, sort of a corollary to the second one, is to integrate the fact that the husband has changed.
Right.
And that
right.
he's beyond caring for your welfare. So that
right.
you keep thinking back, oh, the old sweetheart who was so loving.
Right.
And you don't. That guy seems to have vaporized into thin air. You don't know where he is.
Exactly.
And this new guy seems not to care about you at all.
Right. It's kind of coming into reality and saying, wait, okay, now what's real? Okay, I'm living in the past and it was all wonderful and great and everything. But the reality is I'm sitting here alone. He's moved on and he didn't care how he did it. So, I mean, it's like get
right,
into the reality of actually what went on. Who is this person? And, you know,
right.
yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and then that sort of leads us into the next step, which is understanding why he needs to justify his actions.
Oh, yeah.
Including rewriting history, lying, or attacking you.
Right.
The fact that he needs to justify his actions because otherwise he just looks like, you know, he can't live with himself. So he has to come up with some something horrible that you must have done to him right. that makes it possible for him to move on.
Are there some common excuses that you've heard, like, well, you were never sexual enough, or you were, I mean, they are there some
common... This is a real interesting thing in wife abandonment syndrome, is that, and this is, I suppose, is one of the typical hallmarks of wife abandonment syndrome, is that the reasons husbands give for leaving are often, like, really weird or really bizarre. Like, you know, one guy said that he liked hiking and his wife now has knee problems, and so obviously he has to divorce her.
That's a deal breaker right there.
Yeah, I bet. I can understand that one, you know, so that she couldn't go hiking with him anymore. Yeah. And so, you know, that he said he couldn't stay with her. Another guy said that, you know, he'd been married for 38 years, but he finally learned that Sagittarius and Capricorn don't mix.
Oh, I see. That's what it
is. So that's a good excuse. That's a nice reason to leave your wife after 38 years.
Right, right, exactly.
So that these, you know, very often it's because the husband is running away as fast as he can, he really doesn't sit down and have the serious discussion about his true motivations.
Right, exactly.
But it's more this, you know, these bizarre reasons that just leave these women totally confused and mystified.
Right, exactly. So, and continuing on with your seven steps for moving forward, you know, so... He's making up excuses
about how
horrible
you are. Step number five is to give up trying to get the acknowledgement and the apology that you deserve.
Right, right.
Because everyone, you know how desperate everyone is to have the other person say,
I'm so sorry.
You know what, you didn't deserve this.
You're right, you're right. I'm so sorry. Even if they don't come back or say, I want to start my life again with you, it's just nice. Everybody wants to hear someone grovel. You know, everyone wants to hear someone
That would be such like a balm on the wound. You know, if he could just say, you didn't deserve this and I'm sorry that I hurt you. But, you know, most often and very rarely in any of the women in my study did the husbands apologize.
Right. They're going to be defensive about their thought. Yeah.
So painful.
Yeah. Yeah. They're defending, you know, by making
they're defending.
Whatever.
Exactly.
Exactly. So
and then, you know, to turn your focus from the past to the future, you know, most of the time in the first year or two, you're just staring at your past history and trying to understand what happened. And so then, you know, step number six, which is to start to look towards your own future.
Right.
And that, I suppose, you'll be in the early spring stage when you get there and you start to recognize that, hey, I do have a future and it's all in my hands.
Right. Exactly.
And then finally is to celebrate your new life as a single person.
Yes,
and, you know, I think for so many women, the idea of being single at midlife is like, you know, it's a fate worse than death.
Very scary.
But actually, there is, a very nice life out there for single women. And it doesn't, you know, a lot of women feel as though they're a terrible loser if they don't have a husband, you know, at this point in life. But it's really, really not the case. And the more that women can recognize and acknowledge that there's a lot of freedom and there's a lot of happiness to be had as a single person.
Right, right. There really is.
That's really the way to go.
No, it's really true. And, you know, something that I've heard from clients that I've had in the past is I'm 48 years old. My God, what, you know, I'm 52 years old. No one will want me. No, you know, it's not about who's going to want you now. It's celebrating who you are as an individual and being, you know, discovering yourself and being on your own for the first time in so many years and really kind of learning what's going to make you happy. And just, you know, it's a slow step also towards if they're ready. It's a process towards being ready to see if you want to maybe meet other people out there in the world. And there's lots of resources, too, I say. And I
sure, and you know, happiness can come at any moment.
Exactly.
You know, there's not a time frame or an expiration date to happiness.
Right.
And so the people really need to learn that, you know, that we have to get this idea out of our heads that life is supposed to unroll like this. You're supposed to be, you know, meet someone at 25, be married by 30, have children by 35, you know, be grandparents or whatever. You know, life doesn't have to unroll that way, and that we can be happy at whatever stage we're at.
Right, right. And in that stage, you know, the really tough stage, there's all these obsessive thoughts, and we've talked about, you know, this with clients before. obsessive thoughts that keep, you know, ruminating in their, yeah, they keep ruminating about, and it's going on and on in their mind. What happened? What happened? What did I do? How, and they're reliving scenarios of, you know, well, this is what he said. Maybe I should have interpreted it that way. And I remember when we went on vacation, he said, you know, how does an ex-wife deal with these obsessive thoughts, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a hard one. And I think part of it is to not give a lot of credence to those obsessive thoughts.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have them, and there's sort of no way around it. It's the mind's way of dealing with trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, that idea of post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, that people relive those traumatic moments, the moment he left, the moment you realized that he was moving in with another woman, the moment your children had to go to his home with another woman for the other woman for the first time. These are traumatic, you know, injuries to your emotional state. And so that the mind's way of trying to make sense of it is to just keep revisiting it over and over and over again so that, you know, time will heal and there's a certain amount of accepting it. But also in the book, there are a lot of suggestions about how to deal with obsessive thoughts. And I'll tell you a little funny one, which I call sweep, 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 which is to imagine that your mind is a little small wooden floored room, and it keeps getting dusty and dirty all day with these obsessive thoughts.
Yep.
And the thoughts, you can imagine the thoughts piling up like dust bunnies all over the room.
Right.
And then just imagine, you know, this is like a visualization, that there's this tiny little cleaning lady in the room with a little twig broom. And when you realize that you're drowning under these obsessive thoughts, just tell her, sweep, sweep, sweep. And imagine her sweeping those thoughts away and cleaning up the floor and sweeping them right out the front door.
Yeah.
And it sort of helps you in sort of a lighthearted kind of way acknowledge the fact that you are getting weighted down with these thoughts, but that you can start to train your mind to start to sweep them away.
Right, and it that's really true. And imagery is really a wonderful tool. And you know, there's a lot of sweeping. There's a lot of sweeping. Whenever those scary thoughts, you know, those dust bunnies build up real fast, you know.
Yeah, so that's just one of many, many different coping tricks and recovery strategies. And they're in the book, but they're also on the website, which is runawayhusbands.com.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to mention that that's sort of become like a community center for women who write in, they tell their stories, they ask questions, they communicate with each other. And that feeling, you know, again, of not being alone.
Exactly.
You know, that there's always somebody online and you can talk to them and have that support that we all need.
Right, exactly. It's runawayhusbands.com, folks. And, you know, we've been talking about, you know, women and how they can survive the wife abandonment syndrome and all that, but we haven't really touched yet on children, and you do in your book. You know, it's traumatizing for kids. Many of them are older or teens or young adults or something, but what is the effect that you found on the kids as well when the husband all of a sudden goes bye-bye?
Right, but, you know, if the wife didn't see it coming, then believe me, the kids didn't see it coming.
Right, right.
And, you know, so that even, you know, even in a typical divorce where the husband and wife know that they're going to be breaking up, but they keep it from the kids, it's often harder on kids if it comes out of the blue to them also.
Oh, God, yeah.
And so it totally shakes up their image of marriage. And they, you know, if they feel as though, oh my God, if my parents couldn't stick it out, if my dad left and he seemed to be so happy, then who can you trust?
Right, right.
And then the other feature in it is that because there's often an affair partner on the scene, the husbands often expect the children to immediately get involved in his new family,
you know,
with the girlfriend and maybe her kids.
Oh, my God. This is what I've seen. This is what I've seen. You know, and they split, and he's already set up, you know, with another apartment, and she's, like you said, usually living with him. And she may have baggage or other kids or not because she's so young. But what I've seen a lot of times is the kids, you know, him saying, come on over and I want you to meet my girlfriend. Now, that is that is shocking. And
it's irresponsible. So shocking, It's almost like the husband is a little bit delusional. Like he has, very often husbands have this idea, you know, my kids just want me to be happy.
Yeah, exactly.
And they don't realize that for the kids, first of all, the kids are living at home with a mother who's crying all day long and who, you know, is suffering so terribly, and they feel, you know, the kids feel helpless to help mommy.
Right.
And then on the other hand, you know, kids very often, and particularly maybe even younger kids, have a very strong idea of what's right and wrong. And believe me, they know that daddy having an affair and moving in with another woman is not right.
Right.
And so that they, you know, that they very often, they get very confused about how do they, how do they maintain their relationship with the father that they desperately need?
Right, right.
While at the same time, seeing him act like a juvenile and feeling that they disapprove of his behavior.
Yes, yes, exactly. You know, it broke my heart. Is years ago, one of my clients, this happened to her, and she was in her, I believe, mid-40s. And he, husband just all of a sudden, I'm trying to remember how he did it. I think he was getting dressed in the morning and put on his tie. And she said, okay, have a great day, honey. He goes, oh, well, I'm not coming home. And she goes, oh, you're going to go out with the guys to watch the game afterwards? He goes, no, no, I'm not coming home ever again. And that's sort of the way she did it. Now, they have an 11-year-old. They have an older daughter from, she had another marriage, but they have an 11-year-old boy. And he actually had already set up camp and had prearranged for the apartment and had been part-time living in the apartment, actually, with his new girlfriend, his new young girlfriend. And the sad thing is that he, after that, you know, after time, he'd say, why don't you come on over now, Dad? You know, I want you to stay with me on the weekends, to this 11-year-old boy. And his reasoning was, because he was young, his reasoning was, oh, good, can mom come too and spend the night? You know, that was, it just broke my heart. You know?
Yeah, it is heartbreaking. It really is heartbreaking.
And the mom
and the
was
kids, you know, it also takes the kids a long time to recover.
Right.
And kids are very often sort of, you know, lost in the shuffle.
Sure.
Because the mom is trying her best, but she's having just trouble getting up and brushing her teeth every day.
Exactly.
And so that her, you know, one mom in the study wrote, and, you know, in the book there's lots and lots of sort of stories and vignettes of the women in the study. And this one mom wrote that, you know, when she thinks back about what happened years ago, the thing that hurts her the most was when she stopped really taking care of her kids.
Right.
You know, she'd put food on the table and she'd do the laundry. But there was no playing, there was no you know, sitting together and talking and having fun and going out for ice cream. She just couldn't handle it, and it was like about 6 months where she was just doing the basics.
And
it just breaks her heart how the kids had to sort of, you know, muddle through without the emotional support of the mother.
Right, right. This seems normal, though. I mean, how can she fake it? I mean, how could she all of a sudden be, oh, we're all happy now? And she's trying to cope with her own feelings and this loss and just functioning. I mean, you're right. It's like Night of the Living Dead, you know. You're getting up and you're just functioning. You're getting the kids to school, and you're getting their lunches and their, you know, and then you, if you have a job or whatever you're doing, and then you prepare the meal, fix the house up, and, you know, try to focus on your job and come home and be cheery for, I mean, it must, you know, for this kind of wife abandonment syndrome, the shock, you know, thing, it must be just very difficult.
It's very difficult. And that's, you know, that's why, you know, we always like try to recommend to people, people in marriages or in any stage of life, is try to have a nice network of friends.
Yes, exactly.
You know, if you're lucky enough to have family, that's a blessing. But friends you can always choose, and that you know, that you really try to devote yourself to your friends in the good times, and then your friends will be there for you in the bad times.
Oh, it's really true.
Yeah, and that's so often, you know, in this sense, like, friends get sort of used up. You know, they can't take it having this woman crying all the time.
Right, exactly.
You know, so that you have to, you know, they get what we call compassion fatigue. They just can't handle it after a while.
Right, exactly. And I'm sure, you know, what you say too is talking about the women who can't really focus on anything else. They're just kind of walking through life like robots, but taking care of business. You know, their emotions are just, you know, all messed up, and they're trying to deal with this. But, you know, and they regret, oh, my gosh, I wasn't there for my kids. I'm sure they were there more than they think they were. And I'm sure you tell them not to beat themselves up and give themselves a hard time for one of the most difficult transitions that they probably ever had to go through. But kids recover. Kids recover with the changes they do, and the love, and the, you know, as you say in your book, of course, women do go through the stages, but they do eventually get back to, okay, we're going to get through this. you know, we're going to make life great, and we're going to keep on
going. Yeah, and that can be a good lesson for kids.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, to see that, oh, yeah, mom went through this really rough time, but I'm so proud of my mom. You know,
exactly. She
did this, she did that, she's back, and she's,
right.
You know, she's struggling through life, and it's a big learning experience. It's a learning experience for the mom and for the kids as well.
No, it really is. And how, you know, it's also hard for moms who are pretty mentally healthy, you know, to get to, you know, he left us. And your father's horrible. And, you know, a lot of women who I have worked with, they don't want to go there because they want to keep the kids sane about a father figure or, you know, especially the daughters as well, you know, man and men and to be able to trust men in life. But, you know, it's so hard kind of negotiating, you know, that those muddy waters, how to talk to your children about, you know, the fact that you're... You know, your father has no feeling for us and abandoned us, but you can't describe those things and you can't tell them. You have to say, well, yeah, daddy's kind of decided that he'd like to do some other things. I mean, you know.
Right. But, you know, I mean, I think the important thing for anybody in a divorce situation, men or women, is to recognize that the child's identity is incorporated by both parents.
Yes.
Incorporates both parents.
Yeah.
So that, you know, when you say to the child, you know, your dad, that low down, rotten son of a gun or whatever, you know, that the child will automatically, you know, that hurts the child, even though you might have those feelings. So, you know, in the case of wife abandonment syndrome, it's such a profound injury to the wife that's left behind that it really takes a tremendous amount of dedication to try to protect your child's relationship with his or her father.
Right, right.
But it's really the best gift that a parent can give to a child is to say, this is my issue. Your father didn't leave us. Your father left me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still your father. And you need a father, and I'm going to try to support your relationship with him and put aside my own feelings towards him. And I know that that sounds very ideal, and it's very hard to do when you're suffering so much.
Well, sure it is.
But
sure
I think that's the goal, the thing that we want to look for.
Right,
you know, reach for letting children have their close relationship with both parents.
Right, right. Here on my website, I just got an email from a listener who, it was perfect timing because I was just going to ask because we're running out of time here, but she said, Dr. Michelle, ask Vicki how women can avoid this from happening and some of the signs they might be able to see in their relationships.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that we don't want women who are listening who are in good relationships to feel like, oh, my God, I'm in trouble here. But first of all, I mean, the one thing that I would say is that I think it's a good idea, even in a very good, strong relationship, and this is something that I didn't do in mine because I thought things were fine, to occasionally check in and just say, how are we doing?
Yes.
You know, is there anything you want to talk about?
Yes.
How are you feeling? You know, and I don't mean do this every 3 months. I mean every year or so. But to try to sit down and do sort of an assessment of, you know, do we need to think of anything? Does anything need to change? And I think that that's a good thing to do and not wait for problems to come up before you start having those talks.
Right.
But the other thing that, you know, that became very clear in hearing from the women in the study is that very often men midlife, before they actually leave the marriage, they start to start complaining about their life and they're complaining about their job. So they can't really change their job because when you're 50 or 55 years old, you're not starting a new career. But a lot of the women said that their husbands seemed to be unhappy, even though they didn't talk about the wife. They didn't say, I'm unhappy in the marriage. They said, I'm unhappy at work. And so that's one of the warning signs. If you start to notice that he's just irritable and unhappy and complaining about work, if he's spending a lot of time away from the home, or if he's doing those classic midlife things of, you know, starting suddenly to go to the gym, get a tattoo, dye his hair, go shopping. You know, I know they're cliches, but they really are indications that some, you know, sea change is taking place within this man.
Something's
and you really
up.
Need to sort of get a good look at what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Vicki, it's really been so interesting talking with you, and I really enjoyed reading your book. It's, again, folks, here on LA Talk Radio, Runaway Husbands, The Abandoned Wife's Guide to Recovery and Renewal. Again, not to scare you ladies out there. It's just a really interesting book.
Thank you so much, Michelle. This has been so much fun, Vicki. And I really wish everybody well.
Vicki Stark, thank you so much for being my guest. And again, they can reach you at runawayhusbands.com. That's the website, www.runawayhusbands.com. Much luck to you and continue helping folks out there. And I look forward to reading your next book.
Okay, take care.
All right, Vicki. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, that's Vicki Stark, author again of Runaway Husbands, The Abandoned Wife's Guide to Recovery and Renewal. And, you know, it's, again, not to make us women out there paranoid or scared or anything like that. It just happened. And there's stories, and Vicki Stark has a lot of research she's done on 400 relationships that have gone the wayside just like that. And I've had lots of clients that that's happened to. So interesting reading. And also, even if you're not in a marriage, you know, it's also good to, if you've been in a long-term relationship, just a heads up on how the relationship is going. Always check in with your partner. Do the best you can do and try to keep each other happy and, you know, on the road. What can I say? All right, this is Dr. Michelle. You've been on the couch with me. You may stay on it if you like. I'm leaving because we got another great show coming up here on LA Talk Radio, the world's most popular talk radio station on the internet. I'll be back next Friday live at 11 o'clock in the morning. This is Dr. Michelle saying, do take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for other folks too, if you want. Bye-bye.